it's a long title. It's even longer on the timetable. So this is this came out of a collaboration between Brian and me, and was published earlier this year. And it's a tensor network ansatz for non-local many-body systems with highly connected Hamiltonians. But for short, we just call it NORA, although other names were also being considered. So because it's a long name, I want to like go into like what actually is a renormalization ansatz and why should we care about that. And the idea is that many-body systems, especially strongly coupled many-body systems, our normal mathematical tools like perturbative expansions break down. So we have to resort to other methods. And usually that's done using something called lattice field theory or discrete lattices. So you either your theory is already discrete, or you can introduce like some lattice spacing to discretize it. So you can put it on a on a nice lattice. And here are some neat examples. Like those are both lattice QCD vacua. So they look kind of neat. And you can also like see those arrows like indicate the Wilson lines, which are the primary observables in such systems. So we have a lattice, and now we want to have states on this lattice. And because our Hilbert space is exponential with like the system size, we have to like make an ansatz. And the current state-of-the-art ansatz is tensor networks. So for an example for tensor networks in one dimension is the matrix product state that some of you might probably know. It's just basically just a chain of tensors or matrices that act on a state in a system, one-dimensional state. And you can write it down in this graphical notation. So you have some dangling indices that represent your tensor. And this is a relatively good approximation for like one-dimensional systems. You can solve it exactly and efficiently. However, because this network is dependent on the order of multiplication of matrices, it doesn't scale well to higher dimensions. So in higher dimensions, we have something called matrix projected entangled pair states. So some of you might be familiar with that. In like other systems, I will speak about shortly. But the idea is that we have a lattice or any graph, for that matter, and we have like local degrees of freedom on these gray spots that describe the theory we are considering, and then we project onto these gray spots. We project entangled pairs onto them, and with that we create correlation in the system, and that basically gives us a nicely connected lattice. But the problem is that with these high-dimensional PEPs, they can only be approximated numerically. So you have to do like a bunch of approximations, and that's unfortunate. So some people smarter than me had the idea of using what's called the density matrix normalization ansatz, which basically says that we want to ease our system into this larger Hilbert space. And by easing it into it using a variational approach, using a variational approach, we can define a state on the whole Hilbert space only using like some coarse-grained information that we can distill or like embed using some isometries. The most popular example here is probably MERA, which stands for the multi-scale entanglement renormalization ansatz. So from the name, it's already clear that the primary interest is entanglement structure at different energy scales. So we have like an IR scale, like infrared scale, where we have like very little degrees of freedom. So here we have like two initial degrees of freedom. They can be entangled, they can be not. But what the matter, the thing is that this entanglement is very localized, and so the information is also very localized. And what then happens is that as this theta variable, which basically describes the time, even though it's not like a physical direction in space, as this goes, as this increases, we embed our system in like a high Hilbert space using these isometries that create entanglement with like some ancillary qubits, and also like encode the theory itself. And so that means that we have some causal structure because those are local isometries. So you have like a nice causal cone here that should also like expand here beyond here to include all the upper qubits, but didn't really look nice. And this causal structure implies that this network can be efficiently contracted, which means local observables, so observables that only act on a few qubits, can be like efficiently and exactly computed. So it's all about the cones. And you also see the self-similarity, this vector structure in this network, and this is because of this density renormalization group, or density matrix renormalization group structure. So this implies that we have some self-similarity. So, and this, yeah, implies that like with each layer, the number of isometries has to grow exponentially. So another example that many more people here know is the heavy tensor network, which is basically mirror, but like on a hyperbolic plane, or like a Cauchy slice of ADS-3. And you can see a similar structure here. So we have, I mean, this is probably known for you. So I'm going to go first into this. So yeah, we have like this tessellation of the hyperbolic plane, which already implies that there has to be like some renormalization invariant structure, which we already talked about yesterday, that we holography seems to be linked very tightly to renormalization. And you can also like describe this network as like a PEPS, so have all these edges be described as maximum entangled states, and then you can like compute interesting stuff. And then we also have like this a similar theta direction now going out, like out of the plane in the radial direction. So this is like our renormalization scale, basically. And yeah, because of this renormalization structure or the tessellation structure, we can reproduce entanglement wedge reconstruction. So we have all these nice properties, like a concrete Bott boundary dictionary, and it reproduces like Ru Takanaki formula, even though it's like, if you use like PEPS here, it's like a flat entanglement spectrum, so it's not really, it's only really a time model for holography. Although I think Michael Walter and Pennington and some other people also considered non-maximal entangled states as like these edges. So yeah, that makes many people very happy. But both of these models we considered before are local, because there's like some local structure, even though it's not really a physical direction. There's some locality to the structure, and so what Brian and I asked ourselves is, well, if we get rid of this locality in the system, and of course that's like a generalization of mirrors, so we expect to have more systems that we can approximate using our network. The main interest is the SYK model that many here also probably know. So we have like strings of like randomly coupled Majorana fermions. And as you already know, it's like a CFT in a large n limit and averaged over these random couplings. So, and the CFT is dual to like the deformation of ADS or like ADS2 or JT gravity in the gravity picture. So we have like a sort of duality here. It's a leading order at least. And there's also other systems that we could approximate using this tensor network, like spin glasses, which are very tightly linked to SYK, so that makes sense. Nucleons, so like QCD systems, and also like thermalizing systems. But the problem is, in this case, that we don't have causal structure anymore. So unlike with MERA and HAPI, we can't efficiently compute observables anymore. So we don't have cones anymore. But to still make predictions about this model, we considered Clifford gates, which can be efficiently computed on classical computers and give like a 2 or 3 design depending on your bond dimension. So now let's go to nowhere. We have a very similar setup to HAPI. Notice that we now flip the network. So this is the IR, this is the UV. And we have like some initial ground state qubits, like K of them. And with each layer, we go and add some auxiliary qubits, like an arbitrary number of them for now. And then we have some depthy local isometries that create entanglement or encode the theory. There could be, for example, like this wall filling circuit where like each of these blocks is like a Clifford, a random Clifford, for example, and these pies they switch the indices. So it's like there's no local structure here. Permutations, yeah. I was thinking perturbations, and this is not correct. Like in MERA, we have the scale dependent details because each of these layers describes like a different energy scale, ideally. We have renormalization variants if and only if the number of auxiliary qubits that we add with each layer scales exponentially with like the layer depth. And so we set the number of each layer like this, approximately. And then we also have the same log n scaling of the length as before. And we also have this highly degenerate ground space, like d to the k. And this is required if you want to reproduce things like SYK, because there the ground state is also very highly degenerate. And so we can like either let k scale with n, which is more physically or sound. Or we could also just consider fixed K. And in that case, one could consider this as like an approach for like a quantum error correcting code. So just like a quick introduction what an error correcting code is. So an error correcting code usually is described by three parameters. We have N, that is the number of total physical qubits. We have K, which is the number of logical qubits. So those actually hold the data. And then we have a distance d, which describes how many localized errors the system can experience before it loses this logical information. Similar systems have been used in like all electronic modern devices nowadays, like everything you hold in your hand probably. But the problem is that those mostly rely on copying information and also directly measuring the information. So both of these things are, of course, forbidden in quantum mechanics usually. So people had to get a bit more creative. And what currently is the state of the art are stabilizer codes that were developed by Gottesman originally. And those have like some commuting poly strings that stabilize a state. So to say, so they have unit eigenvalue for that state. and they mutually commute. So they form like a basis, and then, oops. Oh. Okay, sorry. And then for each such stabilizer basis element, we have an associated error operator that we can use to correct this error, ideally. It can happen that the error is reproduces something, what is called a logical operator, which maps between logical states. So there can be some error still arising, so people have to be careful, but usually that the probability of this happening decreases with the system size. And then lastly, there's like the weight of a stabilizer code, or like the weight of a stabilizer element, which is the largest number of non-trivial operators that are, occur in that string. So this is really only relevant for real-life implementations, because the number of operators implies how many operators you have to apply in a lab to stabilize a state. So you don't want too many, because then errors can occur during the stabilization process, and also it might not be possible, like just from the setup, to stabilize the or implement the stabilizer. And you can always, I mean, for Nova, and always you can just describe any stabilizer as like a policy that is evolved unitarily using our circuit. This is what we use, because we all had like, we initialize all auxiliary qubits as like zero. And another important example for like a error correcting code is the 913 shellcode, which embeds one logical qubit in 9 physical qubits. So it is defined in this way. And this was already developed like at a very similar time. So it turned later out that this shellcode is also a stabilizer code. So what we can do now is, using our stabilizer basis for Nora, we can write down a projective Hamiltonian. So that is given like this. So we have like some projection operators that are associated to our stabilizers. So here are some qubit stabilizers. For qubits, it's a bit more difficult, but you can write on a Hamiltonian that projects basically on the ground space that is our code. These JI are like energy scales that are arbitrary, but as we will see, we have to like choose them in a certain way for our system to be consistent. And yeah, so because the ground state describes our system, that means that excitations on the system describe correctable errors on this state. So, and here correctable means again that it's not like an error that's disguising itself as like a logical operator or like a logical operator plus some additional error. And so like, for Nora now, because we have like layers, so this energy scale should ideally depend on the layer we are considering, and so it also like increases exponentially towards the IR, like because of renormalization invariance, and it the energy scale is associated to the auxiliary qubits that are introduced at that layer. So now, using this Hamiltonian, we can already compute the Gibbs state and compute like some properties. So we've mostly considered the temperature of the system compared to the energy scale. And you can do like some continuum approximation of this state, and you see that it scales like a power law in the temperature. And you can also plot this. So blue is like just like directly computing the Gibbs entropy, and then in yellow is our approximation. This is like for some very nice choice of parameters, but even if the choice of parameters is not so nice, the laser pointer died. this approximation gives the upper bound, and will always have the same slope, even if there's like a difference in like the between the plots, which only corresponds to an overall factor. So besides that, we can also make additional heuristics. So I already said that we can consider the case where the ground space scales with n. So we can write this as like some power of r, which is the rate of additional qubits. And then the length is given by a plus b. And those are integers. And usually b is fixed. And then a is basically the can be increased and corresponds to the increase of n. So you can see this code has constant rate, unlike for the non-fixed k case, which is not that important because that's also the case in like the Tori code, for example. But yeah, it implies that k scales linearly in n. And using this, we can then approximate the circuit complexity of this circuit by counting the gates in a total system. And you can derive this for like k fixed and scaling with n. And you can, because of this n log n scaling, this reproduces complexity considerations of JT gravity, for example, the Fermat field double state at temperature 1 over n has throat length log n. So it scales, yeah, logarithmic with n. So you can already see that from like Python's lunch, that there has to be a lot of complexity. We can approximate the qubit ratio, and we can also approximate the weight ratio, the increase of the stabilizer weight with each layer. And using this, we can expect like a phase transition in a large n limit around like where this g to the power of d is r. And so for like, if that's larger than r, there's more weight growth happening than qubit growth, so the weights will be saturated in a large n limit. But if it's the other case, then we're getting more qubits with each layer, then we can scramble. So the stabilizer weight should become vanishingly small relative to the size of the stabilizer. Okay, so now we can do a numerical analysis of this already described that we considered these wall circuits, wall Clifford circuits. The weights can be simply counted. The distance of the codes can be approximated using this adversarial approach where you consider the mutual information of the setup where we have like some entanglement and then we have like some adversary that has possession of R, and then the question is how many qubits A he has to have at least to have mutual information. This is hard, but can be approximated using Monte Carlo. And then, these are our results. So we already see that for like a circuit depth of 4, this already almost saturates what is given by the quantum Singleton bound, which is like the maximum distance. Or like which provides a maximum distance. We have like a volume law. We have it almost approaching quantum Singleton bound for inverse system size of the relative distance. So this is the orange line is just an approximation, but we expect it to be like very close. And for the scaling k case, this is also the case. Even though in this case we also would have to take b to the infinity, so it's unlikely that we get close to this quantum Singleton bound. We can also do the same stabilizer weights. So we have a distribution of stabilizer weights for each layer, and the blue line gives like the expected maximum weight saturation. And you can see that for d equals 3 and d equals 2, this almost saturates, but for d equals 1, it doesn't because of this phase transition. And so what comes next? We have we showed because of this plot. because of this plot, we can see the weights are almost maximally saturated on average. Like, mind, this is a logarithmic plot. So we want to reduce the weights because that would make it better for experiments. So we have some approaches for that. We can do some reduced row echelon form of the basis. We can introduce perturbative gadgets. And there's probably also other approaches to reduce the weights. We can also, all the computations we did here were made using QDIT. So what you're currently working on is trying to move the stabilizer framework to using Mariano fermions fundamentally instead. You could always do that using like John Wigner transformation, but this is not really a natural transformation because it's like highly non-local. Like one single Mariano corresponds to a lot of qubits or polys. So we want to like directly aim to develop a stabilizer formalism using Marianos. And this is also interesting because if we consider strings of Mariano fermions, we have something called the parity of the string. So basically the number of non-trivial operators mod 2. And this gives us another symmetry we have to preserve. So we actually restrict our Clifford group to like a smaller subgroup. And so this could be interesting for like weight considerations as well, or like different distance scaling. But in this case, because we don't have like a tensor product structure, we have to like use probably phenomenon algebras to make sense of what it means for a reduced distance state to exist. And yeah, that's it.
Thank you very much, Valerie. Questions? Maybe I have a question. So you might have mentioned this, but I missed it. Do you foresee this having, what are the holographic implications? Would this apply to, because you mentioned like happy networks.
Yeah, so I mean, because we could model SYK using this network, so we have like a boundary theory for like JT gravity. So we could maybe learn something about that. Like not from like the quantum perspective instead of the gravity perspective. And we can look at like what Juan talked about yesterday with like super SYK, which is also something we want to look at. So this might also be interesting. There's lots of room for further considerations. So this is only the beginning.
Very cool. Thanks.
Question from someone online, Marcus, go ahead.
Hi. I was curious, are there also auxiliary QDIT happy code?
So if you I should just use PF. You can see that we have something called a nice nice isometry. So we actually have like some we have like one ingoing edge and then four outgoing edges. So this already implies that there has to be some isometry because we have more degrees of freedom. So you can imagine that each of these pentagons, there's like some auxiliary qubits being introduced in the system.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
One more question online. Mm-hmm.
Abdul, go ahead.
I have a very basic question. When a system, I'm working on atomic systems. When atoms trap, localize to delocalize, so there is some kind of collision and loss. Such kind of loss effect the system, means system size change. As you talk, nonlinear thermal fluctuation, thermal. So if the state laws. So what will be the subsystems of the system? I mean, you have your actual system. When the particles go from localized to delocalized, so there must be some clients which cause the loss. If it's caused the loss, then the structure of the system change. So how can we define it?
I mean, if I understand the question correctly, we can. So most of the time we consider it going from like low numbers of qubits to high numbers of qubits. So we actually have some fine graining asymmetry, but you can also just consider the tensor network in reverse. So we have like a large system which has like maybe some radiation subsystem. And we can then use these isometry to actually coarse-grained information by projecting onto these maximal entangled states. So we would perform some post-selection. So we could do that to like go from like a large decoherent system to like a smaller system containing the information of interest.
Thank you, and I think we'll cut it off there. So thank you very much.